This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands.
Time has gone 7:42. I'm Kathy Kayla, and we're actually just waiting for Anthony to come online. So some of the stories that I have come across is, firstly, I want to know what your thoughts are about this is executive order. Lots of messages coming through. And by the way, you can get hold of me on Telegram as well. So unsigned, Yossi V says, Boketov, Trump was right to sign that executive order, but he should not have made it about race. Love that he's highlighted the ANC's misguided foreign policy, though. And with that, I entirely concur. Do you concur? Do you agree? Let me know your thoughts. I actually want to go through to Bernard. He said, good morning. According to refugee status, this is from Bernard. He says, good morning. According to refugee status, to white Afrikaners and hopefully to white people in general is a good thing. I would be happier if white people in this country were accorded economic refugee status as well. They are a significant minority but have been marginalized by ever more onerous BEE affirmative action policies designed to protect a massive black majority. And no one, including international bodies like those charged protecting minority rights, have until now ever questioned why South African white minority rights are being compromised. Let's see how this pans out. So I'd be interested to know what your thoughts are. Do you agree with Bernard? Do you agree with your CV? Do you agree with Jenna? All different opinions that we're getting. What's your thought? You know, is this just highlighting something? Who's misguided here? According to Gabriel Krauss from the Institute of Race Relations, you know, both sides are wrong. No, both sides don't have all the information. I'd be really interested to know what your thoughts are. So you can get in touch with me on 061-895-1019. And coming up, going to be speaking to Anthony Reich, getting the Israel report from him. He has been away for a week, and we have missed you, Anthony Reich. Good morning.
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. Nice to be back again. There's been one or two things happening over the time that I've been away.
Yes.
So we've got a lot to talk about.
We really do. Can we please talk about Saturday and the release of these hostages? Anthony?
Yeah, so not everybody was able to watch the emerging events on Saturday morning due to being Shabbat. And of course, now we've got these hostage releases that are taking place every week on Shabbat.
Why did they agree to that? Why did Israel agree to that?
I think the answer is pikuach nefesh. There's just, no, you know, that you have to pick your battles sometimes. And I don't know whether this was one of the battles that really needed to be picked. I'm not sure exactly what lay behind the decision. But I'm guessing that if this is the last item that's on the agenda, and we feel so sensitive about anything that could potentially break a negotiating deal to get our hostages home, that we just don't want to raise any new issues, no matter how minor they might seem. And maybe it is being done on purpose in order to make things uncomfortable, somewhat uncomfortable for people who are observing Shabbat. But I think when people saw the three hostages returned home on Saturday, there can be little doubt about Pikuach Nefesh being involved here, because really the three hostages, or Levi Eli Sharabi and Ohad Ben Ami, were really, really not in good shape. And this is, we're talking here about men who are, first of all, men, and second of all, who are at an age when one would expect them to be able to withstand probably as much as one could ever expect a person at any stage of their life to withstand. Two of the hostages aged in their 50s, and the third one younger, in his 30s. And yet the treatment that has been dished out to them and the way that they came out from the captivity was just an absolute horror to behold. And as I say, not everybody was able to watch that because of Shabbat, but there is certainly enough video footage around on social media and elsewhere for those people who do wish to go back and see exactly what happened. And what we saw was once again a very a choreographed production where a stage had been erected. The three hostages were brought out of this van, each one holding a certificate up as if though they'd been instructed that they had to hold this up in front of them as they walked along. The first images that we got of the three hostages as they were led onto the stage led members of their families to say, I don't know which one of those three is my family member. Such was the emaciated state that they were all in, looking haggard and very, very thin, and you know, having been through clearly a very, very, very tough time indeed, until we were able to get slightly closer pictures and were able to identify that, you know, for example, Eli Sharabi seems to have lost something like 30% of his body weight, and he was almost unrecognizable when we first saw him. And then they were taken onto the stage and they were given an interview. They were forced to speak in this emaciated stage, and none of them looked particularly steady on their feet. They were able to walk on their own steam, but they were kind of leaning against the handlers who were around them. And of course, for Hamas, this was a massive show of strength. Hundreds of Hamas operatives, terrorists surrounding the stage, all of them well kitted out in their bandanas and with their faces covered and with their weapons cocked. And this was a huge show of strength for Hamas. And this time around, not only men, but also some women and some children, some of the children even dressed up in camouflage outfits in sympathy with the cause. And the three hostages were given this ridiculous interview on the stage. They were questioned, I think, in Hebrew, from what I could gather. They, one of them, Orr, was actually dressed in a military-style uniform, even though he is not a soldier, was not a soldier, and was kidnapped from the Nova Music Festival. And yet they considered him as a soldier because he is, I suppose, military-going age, certainly an age where he could have been in the reserves. So they kitted him in a khaki military kind of outfit. The other two, Eli and Ohad, had a kind of a T-shirt which had Hebrew printed on it, supporting the Qassam Brigade. So there is enough infrastructure in Gaza to prepare all of this and to arrange all of this to be done in order to show strength in front of the cameras. The three were then handed over to the Red Cross, who brought them to Israeli IDF forces just near to the Gaza border area. And then there was a staging point where they were brought to the Netzarim base, not far from where two of them were kidnapped from Kibbutz Be'eri and ultimately to hospital. The whole day was very, very bittersweet indeed, because in the case of Eli Sharabi, he was kidnapped from his safe room where his wife and two daughters had been left behind.
Yeah.
And Eli had no idea that his wife Leanne and his two daughters were murdered after he was kidnapped. And the first thing he said to the Red Cross official when he was handed over on Saturday was, I can't wait to see my wife and my two daughters. And of course, someone at some point had to explain to him that unfortunately they are not waiting for him because they had been murdered after he had been kidnapped. And this was part of the immense sadness that we had to experience. Or Levi similarly had to return to a situation where his partner had been murdered in front of his eyes at the Nova Music Festival on October the 7th, and that his then two-year-old son had been left in the care of family members while he was kidnapped to Gaza after his partner had been murdered. And there was some speculation as to whether Orr's three-year-old son, now three-year-old son, would be brought to see him. And I think the decision was made not to bring his son to see him in that situation, but rather to conduct a video call with his son. And his son said to him, "Dad, it's taken you so long to come home. What does one say to a three-year-old who says that to you?
Well,
how does one respond?
For half his life, his father hasn't been there.
How does one respond to that situation? Of course, now Orr has to rebuild his life to look after his son in the absence of his mother, who was murdered in cold blood. And so these are the realities of what our hostages are returning home to, even though we are so delighted to have them home. And it is such an uplift for some of us, many of us, most of us, to see finally these poor individuals, innocent individuals. Ohad was, there's a picture of Ohad being paraded around Gaza in his underwear. That's how he was kidnapped from his home in Kibbutz Be'eri. And not only did Eli lose his wife and his two daughters, but he also lost his brother, who was his next door neighbor in Kibbutz Be'eri, and he was also kidnapped with him, taken to Gaza, and was then killed in Gaza as a captive. And we understand that while he was on the stage being interviewed, Hamas representatives there told him that his brother had been killed moments before he was being released. So these are the realities of what we are facing with our hostages. They are coming home, of course, to medical treatment. As I've mentioned before, the medical assessment is pretty dire for these three individuals who have lost up to 30% of their body weight and who are also understood to now be suffering some heart conditions as a result of the dire conditions in which they were held. And what's more, we're also getting some information about other hostages, first signs of life in the case of some of the hostages. People hadn't heard anything about members of their family until the return home of these hostages, who can now tell stories about when they last saw other people and what conditions they saw them in. And there is a real concern for the well-being of some of the individuals. One was reported to be injured and chained up, being held chained up in a tunnel somewhere while severely injured, where we had no information about that individual up until now. And so the stories roll about the conditions that they were kept in, kept barefoot and starving. Some are suggesting that the Hamas leadership actually followed a strategy to starve the hostages. It wasn't just that there was no food available. It was that they were denied food rather than no food being available. And they were kept chained up and caged in some cases and for lengthy periods below ground, and were unclothed and didn't have footwear, were being led around barefoot and starving. These are the conditions that the Red Cross are signing up to when they sign those official forms on the stage, as if though this is some sort of a formal intergovernmental convention where documents have to be signed by the Red Cross in order to verify that the hostages have safely been handed over. I'm not really quite sure what those documents are that they're signing on the stage each time.
I think it's time to defund them. I think it's time to defund the Red Cross.
Wow. So many very, very horrifying stories mixed with the feeling of satisfaction and happiness that these individuals are finally home to somehow try to recover. But one wonders whether their recovery is even vaguely possible. And of course, many people are invoking the images that we had of people being released from the death camps in Europe immediately following the war, those who came out of Auschwitz emaciated and starving. Those are being reflected now as well. And in fact, President Trump even said that it looks as if though they've seen this emaciated picture that we're seeing almost looks like they've come out of the death camps in Europe, in Germany and in Poland. So, yeah, very, very, very difficult pictures for us. And of
Anthony,
course,
can.
it makes us extremely concerned about those who are not yet home.
Yeah. You know, these are civilians. These are civilians. So, which world bodies and organizations have come out condemning Hamas for their treatment of civilian hostages? Yeah, that's what I
I
thought.
think that was the list.
Curtis. Yeah, that was the list.
I think that was the list. Look, it does. There is a huge debate that is ongoing at the moment about Hamas, and all we're seeing in these shows of force is a very strong statement from Hamas that there is no alternative to them being part of the future of Gaza. And that's why this ongoing debate, the announcement by President Trump that the US will take over Gaza, is being perpetuated and being mentioned at every possible moment, because at the moment there don't seem to be too many options. And when we have a look at these release ceremonies that go on and the show of force, because what's happened, of course, after Saturday is that Israel, according to the agreement, released 183 prisoners from jails across Israel. And these are not innocent individuals. These are people who have been jailed for committing crimes, for committing acts of terror. Some of them were sentenced to life imprisonment for murder, for killing people, and have now been released from jail as part of this hostage deal. And I was one of the people who stood up and said, empty our jails in order to bring our hostages home. And that's exactly what's happening right now. But more than that, Israel also vacated the Netzarim axis, which was one of the critical north critical axes which separated northern Gaza from southern Gaza, running from east to west. And so Israel, as agreed on yesterday, the IDF vacated the Netzarim axis. And of course, this was also held up as some sort of a victory for Hamas in the Gaza Strip, having managed to achieve the vacation of the IDF from that area, which was considered to be a critical axis, and prevented many people from moving around freely. Now, Gazans are having more freedom of movement around the area, even though the Gaza Strip is pretty destroyed. And I think we also need to just, I just need to add one comment in about the notion of innocent civilians, because now when you see people returning to their homes and crying out in desperation due to the destruction that they find, and thinking about the innocent civilians, whether those innocent civilians really exist, one of the interesting pieces of information which has come out is that in Gaza and in Lebanon, individuals actually rented rooms in their apartment to Hamas and to Hezbollah in return for receipt of money. So, in other words, it's like saying, I live in this particular place and I'm going to rent one of my rooms out to Hamas or to Hezbollah, depending on the location. I will receive rental for that room. And in that room, Hamas and Hezbollah put weaponry. And they put missile launchers, and they put stashes of ammunition that were being stored there, and were being stored there with full knowledge of the family living in the apartment, because they were receiving rental for the room. And that was one of the pieces of intelligence that our intelligence agencies were able to gather, and were able then to go from place to place and from apartment to apartment and from home to home to destroy the weapons armaments that were stored there, because they were so spread out and they were stored in all of these apartments across the Gaza Strip and across southern Lebanon. And so one has to then ask, who are these innocent civilians who rented their rooms out to Gaza and to Hamas, to Hezbollah and to Hamas, in order to allow them to be armed like this? That's the
Anthony,
question that I leave you with.
yeah, that is where we leave it. And I leave you with one word: diabolical. That is what it is. It is absolutely diabolical. It is 8:01. Thank you, Anthony Reich. I will chat to you tomorrow morning. Looking forward to that. And you want to get in touch with me? You can. 061-895-1019. That was the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com. See you.